This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I'd like to welcome you again, dear viewers, to another in our series, The Best in Islam, in which we're looking at what Islam considers to be the best in all spheres of human life. In this episode, we'll be looking at the best aspects of faith. And this is a continuation from a previous two episodes in which we looked at the best of faith. In this episode, we'll be looking at a hadith narrated by Abu Huraira, in which the Prophet, may God's peace and blessings be upon him, as saying, Al-Imanu bid'un wa sab'un, afdaluha qawlu la ilaha illallah, wa adnaaha imatatul azmi an al-tariq, wal-haya'u shu'batun min al-iman. Faith has over 70 branches, the best of which is the declaration that there is no God worthy of worship but Allah, and the simplest of which is removal of a bone from the road, and modesty is a branch of faith. This hadith clarifies for us that faith has many aspects. The Prophet ﷺ had mentioned over 70. However, if we note that what is included in this is the lowest and simplest act of faith, removing a bone, that is a broken bone that you might step on and hurt yourself with, removing that harm and hurt from the path, this is included. Faith is being defined by the Prophet, may God's peace and blessing be upon him, as actions. These are not just concepts. These are acts, particular acts. The declaration that there's no God worthy of worship but Allah is an act. It is an act of the tongue. Picking up the bone or broken glass or whatever from the road, which might hurt people, is a physical act of the limbs. So this is confirming what we spoke about earlier when we said that faith in Islam, from the Islamic perspective, is not merely a concept, a belief in the heart, which might be confused with knowledge. This is not faith. Faith has to be translated into some form of action. From an action of the heart, it should become an action of the tongue or an action of the limbs. This is true faith. So here, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he declared that the highest level of faith was that of declaration that there is no God worthy of worship but Allah. That is the highest level. And that is consistent with what we said from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with regards to faith, when he said that the best deed is faith in Allah. That faith in Allah is expressed in the term La ilaha illallah. There's no God worthy of worship but Allah. So that declaration of faith, that's what brings us into Islam. That is how a person becomes a Muslim. Oftentimes people will ask, okay, what do we have to do to become a Muslim? Are there certain rites or rituals that we have to go through? Getting dunked in the water, water being poured over your head, or what? In Islam, there are no specific rites and rituals for accepting Islam. It's only to make that declaration. That's all. That declaration is made publicly, meaning to other people. It's not just kept within oneself, unless one fears harm, like the Najashi, the ruler of Habasha, whose declaration of faith would have caused his people to rebel against him and maybe even kill him. So he kept it away from the people while defending and protecting the Muslims who had migrated there from Mecca. He kept his own conversion to faith to himself. So much so that when the time came and he died, there was no one to bury him, no Muslim there to bury him. Or if there were, they didn't know, and it couldn't be done in a public way. So Prophet Muhammad, may God's peace and blessing be upon him, after being informed by Allah that the ruler of Abyssinia had died, he called the companions together there in Medina and had them do Salatul Janaza, or the absent prayer, for him, knowing that none would have been done for him there in Ethiopia. So here was a case where the declaration of faith was kept silent, private. It was not declared openly. So there are times when this could be the case. But otherwise, as a norm, a person is required to make that declaration open, to let people know that he or she is a Muslim. They shouldn't say, okay, I accept Islam in my heart, and then they just carry on. Why? Because then society will not know that they're Muslim. So if something happens, they wouldn't know that, okay, this person needs to be buried as a Muslim. They were Muslim. Also, if they see a Muslim going somewhere which is not good, they would try to stop that person and say, well, you know, you're a Muslim. Maybe you shouldn't be doing this. Shouldn't be going there. They could be a part of helping that person overcome their weaknesses, their sins. Also, for the person who is a Muslim, who has declared it, and people know that he or she is a Muslim, they can more easily ask others for help when time arises where they need help. They're in a better position to be able to do that. So it is to their advantage. And this declaration of faith is also a declaration of transparency. They're transparent. They're not hiding anything from people. What is in their hearts, they share. If you believe Islam is good, then of course you shouldn't even keep it to yourself. You should try to share it with others. So all of these things come into play when we talk about the declaration of faith. But of course, first and foremost, it must be sincere. For it to be the highest act, it can't be a declaration of faith because a man wanted to marry a Muslim girl, and it's known Muslim women are not allowed to marry non-Muslim men. So the man tells the woman, I'm ready, you know, I will accept Islam, no problem. You know, I want to marry you. I want you to be my wife, so I'll accept Islam. But don't expect me to pray or fast or do any of those things. I'm doing it because I want to marry you. For her to marry him on that basis is wrong Islamically, because he has not become a Muslim. He's only saying some words, which externally, okay, in the courts, they're going to say, yes, he's a Muslim, he declared his faith, and they'll record it as a Muslim. But he's not. You know, as a woman, as the family who he has already told, that he's not doing it to become a Muslim, really. He's only going through the formality so that he can marry. Then this is not a true declaration of faith. It's not allowed in Islam. That marriage is not a marriage in the sight of God. Inside of God, it's an act of fornication. It's not marriage. So the declaration of faith has to be sincere. It has to be out of being convinced, believing that truly no God is worthy of worship but the one true God. Whether you call him Allah, or in Aramaic, Allaha, or in Korean, Hanonim, or whatever language you use to refer to that one true God who is one alone, creator, sustainer of the universe, who has no beginning and has no end, who is in control of everything. That one God is the God of Islam and the God of human beings, the true God. So that's what is the highest level of faith, to declare that, to recognize that, to believe that. And we're going to take a pause now as we have reached the middle point of our episode, and we'll see you after the break. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Don't you want to experience the joy of teaching your child to read and write? Are you tired of paying someone to teach your child? Would you like to see your child reading and writing in just 4 lessons? As a certified reading specialist and experienced educator of more than 30 years, I can and will help you reach your goals, inshallah. I want you to experience the joy of teaching your child to read and write. I want to save you money, and I want to hear from you that your child is reading and writing in just 4 easy lessons. So don't delay. Start today.
Welcome back from the break. We were looking at the branches of faith. And we talked about in the first segment of our episode the declaration of faith being the best of the branches. Then the Prophet, may God's peace and blessing be upon him, went to the other end of the spectrum and said that the simplest of branches is that of removing some harmful objects from the path that people walk on, whatever it may be. In this narration, he mentioned a bone, broken bone, obviously, or something that you can trip over, hurt yourself. Some other narrations, he mentioned, sometimes when he spoke it, mentioned this hadith or this statement, he used adha, or harm. It refers to anything that would be dangerous to people, removing it from the path. That is the lowest level, because that's something so simple. It seems to be nothing. What is the value? Most people will just walk by. They see something on the ground, they avoid it, and they carry on. They wouldn't think to go, okay, remove it, kick it out of the way, clear it from the path. Because what's the value of that? Well, it has value. It is a part of faith. And that is the comprehensiveness of faith in Islam, that it even governs the removal of objects from the path that people walk. That's how much Islam cares for human welfare. And its principles are universal. So that we don't need to say, well, we're now in the 21st, 22nd century. Times have changed. 1,400 years have passed. Islam is not really that relevant now. We have to change our understanding. No. Is harm in the place where you walk? Roads might have changed. Our shoes may have changed. However, the idea of objects being in the way when people walk will always be an issue. It could be outside of your home, could be at the workplace, could be in the park, could be anywhere. The idea of that people would drop things and somebody else could be harmed by that thing will remain. It's a universal principle. And even if we say we reach that point in technology where, you know, you have cleaning robots that go and clean up every time anything drops anywhere, so on, so it just immediately cleans it up. So we say we have perfectly clean places. Well, the robot still has to pick it up. You've dropped it. Before the robot could pick it up, somebody could still step and hurt themselves. So if you catch it before, you remove it. So the idea of removing harm from people's way, whether it is literally a broken glass or bone or something on the road, or whether it is a larger object which could hurt people by falling on the road, etc., etc. The point is that the principle here is that nothing is too small to be outside of faith. The faith encompasses everything. Every aspect of our lives. There is nothing in our life which is not governed by faith. That's the bottom line. Faith encompasses all. When whatever we do, whatever we say, whatever we think, whatever we play, when all of that is done in accordance with the teachings of Islam, with the guidance that is there, then it is all a part of faith. And that's how Islam perceives faith, as belief and action in accordance with that belief. And no action is too small so as to be considered not a part of faith. The key that we mentioned earlier, previous episode, the key is that we are consistent in doing whatever little that we do. Those small actions, as long as we do it consistently, regularly. Whenever we see that in the path, we do it. Not just one occasion when something has happened and we're looking to try to do some good because, you know, we're suffering. Our relative is suffering, whatever. We know doing good, you know, helps to alleviate suffering. So we say, okay, let me go find something good to do. Okay, here's some things in the road, I'll clear it. As soon as the person gets better, okay, enough. You don't do it anymore. That is not a real good deed. The real good deed is the consistent good deed. It's one that you do because you know it's good, and because you know it's good, you should be doing it. So you strive to do it continually. And that's the one which Allah loves the most. The consistent good deed, even though it is small, removing that harm from the road. But we do it wherever we are, wherever we go, whenever the opportunity presents itself. Because it is a good deed ultimately which is added to our scale of good deeds. And though we might consider it something small, Allah may make it something very big. So we don't focus on small, big. We only go for the big deeds, leave out the small deeds. No. Because being consistent with the big ones, much more difficult than being consistent with the small ones. And being consistent with the small ones trains us to be able to be consistent with the big ones. So this is a complete system. That system of faith, as we said, includes all aspects of life. Nothing is too insignificant, too small, too irrelevant to be considered a part of faith. And that's why when people mention, for example, we spoke about clothing, what's best in clothing, etc., where the Prophet, may God's peace and blessing be upon him, had said, for example, for men wearing garments, that their garments should not be below their ankles. This is a principle of dress in Islam. If you're wearing pants or you're wearing a gown, a thobe, like what I'm wearing, it should not hang below the ankle. Some people say, this is not important. You know, we should be talking about the big issues of, you know, jihad and this and... Well, we say, brothers, if you can't deal with the little things, then know that when the big things come, you won't be able to deal with them. Because it's all a part of the faith. It's all a part of the system of faith in Islam, which governs everything. It's not limited only to one area, the big areas. Because the big areas, when you break it down, has little areas which make them big. You combine them together, they become something big. Big is consists of a variety of other smaller things. So we should never consider any deed too insignificant, too small to concern ourselves with. And that is what the Prophet, may God's peace and blessing be upon him, is telling us when he speaks about removing harm from the way as being the lowest level of faith, the smallest, most simple. And then he closed off the hadith saying that modesty is a part of the faith. Modesty, al-haya, is a part of faith, an important part. When he said it's a part, he means it's an important part of faith. Modesty in all of its forms, whether it is modesty physically, that one is modest in the way one dresses, not exposing oneself. You dress modestly. You're modest in the way that you speak. You don't speak about things which don't concern you. You don't get involved in people's business, etc. You're a modest person. You speak and try to speak good when you speak. Try to avoid just chatter and talk for the sake of talk. Or you're modest in how you spend your money. You don't squander it. You use it wisely. Or you're modest in any aspect of life. Modesty is good. It is a part of faith. And the Prophet, may God's peace and blessing be upon him, was very modest. That's how he was described, a modest person. So modesty is a part of faith. And we should be conscious of it and not be negligent of it and not discourage people who are modest to be more brazen, more outspoken, etc., etc. No. Modesty is the right way. Islam encourages modesty. But it doesn't mean that you're so modest that when wrong takes place, you don't open your mouth. No. That's where you've gone now to an extreme, a negative extreme. Modesty should drive you to not allow that evil to take place. You feel shy before Allah that such a thing would take place and you said nothing. So, modesty is a part of faith. With that, dear viewers, we're going to close out our session now. Our session, which focused on the branches of faith. What was best? That was the declaration that there is nothing worthy of worship but Allah. And we hope to see you in our coming episodes where we continue to look at the best in Islam. I bid you farewell. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.